Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of Rooster Teeth Reviews. Tonight, we are doing Rooster Teeth Reviews Classics Edition. We're going to be breaking down not only the latest Rooster Teeth news, but also breaking down one of my favorite classic series, Panics. It's going to be a good time. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back. I'm so excited. Well, last week we went on a deep shipping dive, and I feel like this is a personal gift to me because now we're going straight into the series that I really wanted to review for our classics.
We've stayed in the darkness. And now we're covering Panics.
There's no light this week.
No light can escape. Anyway, hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to Rooster Teeth Reviews. Let's get right to it with me introducing our fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
I'm dead. You can find me on Twitter and dead at Mark B. Donica.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. I don't think I'm dead. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. I am out of blood, and you can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
So the jury's still out on if you're dead or not, but you're out of blood.
Why is there so much blood? Somebody get me some more blood.
And if it were, yeah. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And I think I just got promoted to Bravo 1.
Hey!
Oh, jeez.
Hey, you've been Bravo 1.
Well, it's no secret that I'm really excited about tonight's episode. You guys know me. I'm a huge fan of horror. I'm a huge fan of horror comedy. I love it when Rooster Teeth kind of delves into that area. And one of the reasons I've been so excited for Bloodfest is because of my deep love for Panics, this silly little one-shot series that they did. Before we really get into our breakdown of Panics, though, we have some news to talk about.
Yeah, we don't need to hit the thing. Anyway,
just letting you know.
We don't need the AfterBuzz TV news.
Well, we got it. Congratulations.
Thanks, Megan.
Surprise ending.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some news first. First on the list of things to break down is that there was a community announcement earlier this week talking about how this year's Rooster Teeth's year of community, and I kind of feel like they really have been hitting home with that with their line of female clothing and just their overall emphasis on reaching out to various groups within the fan base. Mm-hmm. And so as part of their year of community, they have something special planned for Rooster Teeth Auction, or Rooster Teeth at Austin. RTX is the word I'm looking for.
The charity auction is a completely different ball of wax.
Completely different. But they're doing two things for RTX Austin this year. One is community track. This year, we're thrilled to add a dedicated community track to our RTX programming lineup. We'll be allotting 10 to 12 panels this new track, and we want you to submit your panel ideas. So they are holding applications from March 16th through April 16th. So if you guys are planning on being at RTX and you want to do a fan panel of some sort, that's where you apply. They also made an announcement for Community Corner, which is we will have a dedicated space in the exhibit hall to promote the work and talent of our community. Are you an artist, designer, illustrator, and or creator of cool stuff? We would love to give you the space to show it off. So it's basically like the artist alley that they have at like a lot of other conventions. It's kind of cool that Rooster Teeth's finally like bringing that, because most of the floor is it's mostly businesses who come in looking to sell
sponsors.
Their
merch. Mm-hmm.
Sponsors and vendors, and they do have an artist alley, but it'll be nice to just have a place to show things off, because we have so many incredibly, ridiculously creative people in this community. It'll be nice just to be able to walk in there and be like, yes, all of you wonderful humans.
Imperial Waltz in chat is calling for us to do a shipping panel and a crossover shipping panel to make my ears bleed.
For you, Mark.
Just for me. One thing I will say is I do think that 10 to 12 community panels is a little bit on the small side, just for the sheer amount of community, because like the schedule's changed, and the whole idea of RTX has been changing over these past couple of years, and they're sort of optimizing it and refining it. And while I do like these ideas, it seems somewhat like, oh, well, if we put them in the corner, then they'll be in the corner and we don't have to worry about them. I see, but that's not to say that this all has a, like, malicious intent or any sort of malicious intent, because this sort of area for community artists is well-deserved. But the 10 to 12 legitimately worries me on if we can get a panel this year.
Yeah.
Because that's not a lot.
We shall see.
For whatever it's worth, it is nice that panel applications are open again this year, because last year there, if I'm recalling this correctly, there was not an open call.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
It was, they reached out to people who had previously had successful panels at RTX and said, are you going to do the thing again? Hmm. And most of the new panels were in conjunction with Screw Attack, I believe. Whose convention did they merge with?
Screw Attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the new panels were that, or new Rooster Teeth properties in one way or another. So I like that they're opening it up again, and I like that they're making it community focused again. Like, I really appreciate that. And I can understand that move that they did last year, because it was the team's first time handling it. They had switched over from one publicity company to another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about RTX last year versus what looks like they're trying to do this year, there were a lot of hiccups. You know, when you change event planning companies, no matter whether you're changing from one company to another or if you're doing everything in-house as they did, there are going to be some bumps along the road. And there were definitely a couple bumps last year for RTX. So it's nice to see that they looked at last year's RTX and they took notes and they're like, okay, this is what we're doing this year.
If there's like,
they're mailing badges this year.
That's good.
Hallelujah.
If there's a community room, like a community panel room, that's like a lot closer to the action, but that's where the community panels are, then cool. Number doesn't necessarily matter.
But over the course of 3 days, you can fit more than 12 panels.
Yeah, yeah. But then it just depends on what they're fitting for the rest of it.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah.
So talking about upcoming shows, Joe made an announcement about...
Joe Nicolosi.
Yes, Joe Nicolosi made an announcement about the next season of Red vs. Blue. Katie, do you want to take it away?
Let me tell you how excited I am for this, you guys. I've always been super stoked for Red vs. Well, always, for a good chunk of time, have been super stoked for Red vs. Blue. We are getting a season 16 and a season 17 because the story that Joe has planned is going to span two seasons. We are getting a shorter season, but longer episodes. So instead of 24 10-minute episodes, we're looking at 15 or 16, like 15-ish minute episodes. It's still going to have a very long total runtime as a season, and it premieres on April 15th, so a month from tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I am really ridiculously excited. I am always happy to see Red vs. Blue come back.
And also time travel.
Well, they said they're going to pick up like right where 15 left off. And part of me is like, yay. And the other part of me is like, Wash is still in the hospital.
But his last line was, oh, also time travel. So there'll be some silliness.
The show has done time travel before.
We opened that door in some seriousness and also kind of not last season. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see where things go from there. And he did say that he went and looked at commentary and looked at community feedback and kind of tailored things, and that there is a co-writer coming on for the second half of this season. So we'll see where this goes. I'm interested. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Got a month.
Indeed. Jason Waite is the co-writer. So he's going to be helping out because Joe is working on another project at Rooster Teeth, which he can't elaborate on.
Quote, original IP.
Yep. So we shall see. I'm excited too.
I'd be very surprised if there's anyone at Rooster Teeth who isn't working on multiple projects at the same time.
Yeah, that's very true. Speaking of, there's also another announcement as far as the shows go, and that's regarding Ruby Chibi.
Yeah, this came out today. Director Paula Deccanini announced that there's going to be a couple of months hiatus of Ruby Chibi, which is something that we talked about on a previous show, because with all of the content that's happening throughout the summer of animation, it being sort of peppered in here and there just sort of to keep the website alive over the weekend, like you need help doing that. In between seasons of shows, various things here or there, especially now with Red vs. Blue being a shorter season, this next Saturday's episode is going to be the last one. And they just said for a few months, we'll be back in June with new characters and new stories.
Ooh, so yes.
Who do you guys think they're going to bring on?
Oscar.
Y'all! Delicious.
What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it's gonna be Oscar, right? Like, I mean, we haven't seen like Salem. Hazel yet, right? I want to see Hazel and crew.
Salem.
I would love
She'd be Salem.
Oh, God. an underground earthbending esque wrestling sort of thing with Hazel and Port and yeah, things like that.
You basically want the boulder.
No, we have the boulder, and we interviewed him today on Xbox 1-2-360, Mick Foley. But that's beside the point. But yeah, no, I want just sort of that macho machismo of Port being super electric and full of energy, and Hazel being down here and expressing the same exact sort of a thing. Like that just sort of the counterbalance of the two of them.
That's wonderful. Is it wrong that I really want Chibi Tyrion?
Yes.
That is not wrong at all, because I also very much want that.
But then I would like to see a tiny murder arachnid. I'm down.
But then we're getting into characters and people that that are past the point of no Pyrrha. And then
think of the fun interactions you can have then.
Good things could happen. Greatness can be achieved.
I just want to see him freaking out a la Mr. Crocker and the Fairy Godparents. Fairly Odd Parents, rather. Yeah, just the Fairy Godparent freak out. Like, I want to see that from Chibi Tyrion.
It would be very interesting to hear Josh Greeley's, like, psychotic voice coming out of a giant-headed little chibi figurine with, like, a little scorpion tail. It would be very funny.
Imagine him. Like, one of the best chibis, though. Like, right?
Yeah. The design would be adorable. We know what else would be adorable is something the chat wants, which is Chibi Ilya.
Oh,
but you know,
absolutely.
No. I want like father-in-law hijinks with Sun and Gira.
Yes,
that's what like a goofy movie-esque style road trip for whatever reason.
They'll see eye to eye finally.
Oh my god. Sure.
Of course they will. Dare you? Dance
because
number.
I want this now.
And Mom and Blake are just cheering him on in the background.
Aww.
How dare you?
Why? A goofy movie is spectacular, and I was just listening to that song earlier today.
Yes.
Well, we've got big show, so yes. Let's keep moving. Yeah.
We got more things to talk about. Mr. Quinn, also from the Rooster Teeth side of things.
Mike Quinn.
For some reason, my notes say Nike.
He's not in not a like, Greek.
I'm like, that doesn't look right.
Not
that's
a Greek.
Probably a typo. Mike Quinn gave some site updates. As we've discussed in the past, the site is going through an update and a much long overdue update. And so something they announced is that part of the updates is that this coming Friday, March 16th, they're going to be testing out something new with the site, and that starting in the morning, they're going to test out several hours of linear streaming that will include a ton of Rooster Teeth and Let's Play shows, including the new animated series, Nomad of Nowhere. Oh, linear, and by linear streaming, they mean like old school TV.
It's TV.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Funhouse has been testing this out for like a couple of months where like over the weekend when they don't have content, they just have a stream of stuff going 24/7 on their YouTube page. Mm-hmm. So I think this is really smart because a lot of the Let's Play stuff, there's certain series that you can eliminate. So it's not like story-based stuff where they're playing through like Resident Evil 7 or Breath of the Wild or whatever, but just to sort of tune in and go, hey, what's on? Oh, funny video game hijinks. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I'm it. That's kind of the reason I keep Overwatch League on in the background at night. It's just like, all right, this is fun. This is some good noise. And occasionally you look up when people start screaming and fun stuff is happening, which is how I treat a lot of Let's Plays.
Speaking of, don't they have talking on the Faunus side of things, don't they have...
The Funhouse? Not the Faunus? I took it off of the rundown because it's not really anything, but Achievement Hunter has the series called Theater Mode, where they watch crappy movies and they talk over them like it's MST3K. Or riff tracks, depending on how old you are. And they announced that Funhouse is doing a miniseries of six. And they have a movie podcast themselves where they and a Silk Stockings podcast called Talking Stockings. Giving them the reins to this franchise, I think it's only a matter of time until Sugar Pine 7, Cow Chop, Game Attack, any of the other Let's Play family folks, kind of funny, they start doing this too. But I think it's the start of something cool.
Yeah.
But not anything that we really need to talk about.
I feel like that's something we could do.
That could be fun.
Well, that's something that the studio used to do here.
Yeah, watch-alongs.
Achievement, Theater Mode, they license the movie, so you see the movie and them in the corner, and it's a big to-do. I can't imagine having to edit that crap. They go, no, stop, rewind. I was like, no.
Well, talking about Nomad of Nowhere, we also have some news regarding Nomad of Nowhere. We got another bit of character art for a character called Scout. If we want to pull that up,
we're full screening it.
I love her. She's sass. Adorable. Yeah. For those of you listening on iTunes, we're looking at, and it's much like we described the character arc in the last episode. This one, it's bright, it's colorful, it's got this cute camp sort of esque style to it, without it being, but it still has its own unique style to it.
Yeah. She is ginger as hell, and I love it.
Well, she has giant anime red hair.
I need to figure out how to make that wig work.
But they had to accentuate the gingerness by giving her a green shirt, too.
Of course. I mean, cosplay some Square Enix, and then that's basically how you make the
wig. The descriptor that they tweeted out was, right hand to Captain Toth, Scout is a desert wildflower who knows a thing or two about adventure. From her books, at least.
My favorite kind of character. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
I read all about adventure and cowboys running off into the sunset, and it's going to be great.
Have you ever done this before? Well, no, but I read about
I've
it.
I read the manual. I am set. Let's do it.
They did release a clip, which Steve can then cue up for us while we keep talking. Which I was really surprised at. I thought that they were going to not let anything happen until the show.
I thought it was just going to be the character art. And here it is.
Yeah, and we have no sound off just in case. Or no sound on just in case.
But it's Scout poking around at the magical rock creatures. And you can see the freckles.
I love this
so
much. Yep. So, I love how terrified the rocks are. I love this giant rock that is just done with life right now.
Tony Stoney. Does anybody know, has anybody heard about who voices Scout?
No.
No, but listening to it, I was like, is that Elizabeth? Is that Elizabeth
to
Maxwell?
It sounds a little bit like Sam to me. A little bit, but...
It sounds like Nikki to me, but...
It was the screaming that had me think more Nora.
It could be.
She's already played a ginger, so...
Looking for it, and I was like, is this on anyone's Twitter? Is it on IMDb yet? I wasn't able to find anything officially, but yeah, my bet would either be Elizabeth or Sam, for sure.
Anybody else?
I am so bad at picking this out. I'm just going to sit here and kick back and enjoy the hell out of it when it comes out the day after tomorrow. Oh my God, where did March go?
That's right. Yeah.
Where did March
tomorrow
go?
Tomorrow is the Ides of March.
I am aware.
Hey, Imperial Waltz says, I demand rock plushies.
I need it in my life.
Yes.
And Jesus Pondo says, rock pillows!
If there are not rock plushies available at RTX for purchase, I will be sorely disappointed in their marketing department.
And both Pepsi Fan and Imperial Waltz have confirmed that. Samantha said, it's not me.
Okay.
So there's that.
If there aren't rock plushies available at the official store, there's going to be something in Artist Alley. Let's be 100%
real. There will be something in Artist Alley, but it took 2 years for us to get a platypus.
Yes.
So, I'm just saying.
It took even longer. Do we have a Beacon mug yet?
Oh, Beacon was early. Yeah, it was like season 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a Beacon mug.
I'm just trying to remember what mug it is that everyone was screaming for that took 1,000 years.
Maybe we shouldn't rush the plushies, lest we have another Pira incident.
It was the Nope mug from Camp Camp. And we have that. That was the one that people wanted. They saw Max have and then went, and then they made it.
I just
need to fix something real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, something occurred.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of the things I also wanted to talk about was Bloodfest, the third feature length film that Rooster Teeth has produced after Laser Team and Laser Team 2 premiered out South by Southwest this weekend, and I had my eyes like glued to their Twitter feed as they were doing stuff from the red carpet. I will say that I'm a little surprised because the reviews for Bloodfest have been mixed. I saw one review that claimed that, you know, how last week I was talking sort of jokingly about how the meta commentary deconstruction is a little bit played out. And then Mark made fun of me for having a monocle.
Yeah, I did.
One of the criticisms I saw about the film was that it thinks it's more clever than it actually is. And it's hard to say, just having seen the trailer, you know, we still haven't gotten any more from the film itself. You know, we're going to have to wait until it gets released. But, like, on the one hand, I'm kind of disappointed. On the other hand, there are other reviews that are, like, it's good gory fun. So I'm trying to temper my expectations a little bit.
In terms of reviews, what I've found helpful for stuff like that is find out who wrote the review and find out what they've said about other movies. Basically go through and go, do I usually agree with this person's opinions, words? I'm super good at words tonight, y'all. Do I usually agree?
Opinions? So don't worry about
Do they like horror movies or do they dislike horror movies? Like, what do they feel about the genre? What are their biases? Do their opinions align with yours? Because it's entirely possible that someone you don't agree with at all will love it, or that someone you don't agree with will hate it, and you can pretty much take the opposite of what they've said. It's like everyone who said, oh, Black Panther is terrible. It's like, you're a white guy, aren't you? 90% of the time.
Either that or you just hate fun.
Yeah. Also true. So that is prerequisite.
So in terms of reviews, it's always worth it to go and see if they have a bias, if they have opinions on genre already. I'm the worst person to send to review a horror film. I'll spend half the time under the seat. Like, no. So
I will say, too, because it is a Rooster Teeth property, and yes, it should be able to stand alone on its own merits, but it also, Rooster Teeth stuff happens to have a lot of inside jokes in it, and I don't know if Bloodfest does, but I'd also be willing to bet that for a lot of those inside jokes for the communities, an outside critic isn't going to pick up on those things, and so some of the humor will be lost.
Well, I mean, the first Laser Team didn't have too much.
That's true.
When it comes to that, they were like in the background, like Ashley was dressed as X-Ray in the background of Nerds at the End, and Adam was dressed like a Viking. Like, that, it's they know that they're making stuff for a wide audience as well, and they bury them.
They like pepper it. It's not like, you know, 6-7 seasons into Red versus Blue where a lot of stuff is just inside joke on inside joke on inside joke.
Yeah. Why do they keep asking why they're here?
No, it's none of that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm a little disappointed, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait and reserve judgment until I get a chance to watch it myself.
Yes.
Yeah. Always the best way to do it.
But regardless, like I said, I'm still hearing that a lot of people think it's good, gory fun. And speaking of fun, do you guys want to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, have we got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was the Rooster Teeth Reviews podcast who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. Specifically, yay! Mark.
No. All of us. I'm pointing, like, for the people watching, I'm pointing at the logo.
There we go.
I'm pointing at the show.
And before we switch gears on over to Panics, we also want to take a moment to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it's the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And we don't have any new reviews this week, but for those of you guys who do comment on iTunes, we give you a shout out on the show because we love you and you're great. And we also want to say thank you to everybody who comments in the live chat and on the comments on YouTube. You guys are phenomenal, and we love you.
And the hashtag, especially last week when we were doing ships.
Oh my gosh, that was so great.
It was full of garbage.
I think litter. The mug and thermos ship was just the best.
Well, yeah, that was one of the crack ships that somebody in chat came up with.
Oh, I love it.
That was the absolute
best. Without context, it was beautiful, and I loved it. So
it made my night.
Thank you for that.
There were so many great things.
Hey, so apparently Ruby is in Ready Player One.
What? Ruby Rose?
RT mentioned it.
Wow.
So, did the studio license it?
I guess we'll find out. Also,
I would hope so.
Also, to all the people who offended that I'm not calling you trash. You're not trash. You're beautiful people.
Your ships.
Yeah, your ships.
You realize that could be
you're
just
allowed
as bad.
To like fictional garbage fires as garbage. Long as you don't start a real one.
I will burn this studio to the ground.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm in the Voltron fandom. You have to live by that advice.
you know what?
Just live in the dumpster. Live in the dumpster. It's fine. Okay, guys. I want to talk about panics now.
I bet you do.
I do. So this is the story of people acting normal in crazy-ass situations. This was a one-shot that Rooster Teeth did back in 2005.
Jesus.
they were commissioned to do...
12 years.
Yes, it's that old. I actually have a distinct memory of catching one of these episodes completely out of context on G4 because they were airing them in between shows during commercial breaks. That's how old.
At least you didn't say tech TV.
Did they have to bleep it? Or
no? I mean, do you watch some of the old shows? Yeah. Well,
I don't remember them swearing that heavily.
The episode that I saw was the third one where there weren't really any F-bombs being dropped as far as I could tell.
None swears.
None swears.
So yeah, I'm sure they bleeped the first couple episodes. Anyway, so yes, the story of Panics is for those of you who have not seen it.
See it.
Is yes,
it's
absolutely.
All free, and it's been 13 years.
Pause this, go to the RT site and watch it. Go to YouTube. Rooster Teeth has all the episodes uploaded there.
It's like 15 minutes of your time, and it's so worth it.
Including bonus.
Including bonus content.
Including bonus content.
Including the bonus content of the extra episode that acted as a prequel, and the outtakes blooper reel, which also is delightful. So yes, it is the story of Bravo Team. They are a group of what appears to be either a government organization or a privately funded task force who go up against the supernatural. And Bravo Team has been called in to take a look at this one supernatural place. And newcomer Frank is on his first day on his first mission. And that's sort of where the series starts out. I want to ask, because it's very blatantly clear that I love this one shot. What were your all initial first impressions of it? And is this your first time viewing it? Because I know, Katie, I know I made you watch it with me at some point.
I have quoted that dinner fuck line at you enough that, yes.
Stacey, was this your first time watching
it? This was new to me.
Welcome
it was
to hell.
Wonderful. I'm pretty sure I was sold on the series the minute a line went, oh my god, if somebody doesn't help me, I'm not going to be alive. Yeah, that's my kind of humor. I'm here.
Mark?
I'm pretty sure I watched this when it came out. I didn't rewatch it too much just because, I don't know, just because. But rewatching it, I was like, damn, was this as short as Red vs. Blue episodes were as well? Like, were they 2.5 to 3 minutes long?
They were like 3 to 5.
Yeah, because these were super short. Whereas now they would put this out as a literal one shot instead of like a short series. But it's still in that original RVB time. To where I was like, that's Donut. That's, you know, it's picking people out.
That's Griff. That's
Griff didn't show up. Jeff didn't show up till the end. He was a part of Alpha Team.
As did Tucker, yes.
As did Tucker.
Those jerks on Alpha Team.
Yeah.
And of course, Church died.
Yeah, naturally. Now, that would be something as if Church was in Ready Player One, like trying to get a sniper rifle working, and he just
he got shot by a tank.
That would be a deep cut.
That's a very deep cut. Also, that's technically a Spartan, which would cost even more money than just be church.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched it when it came out, but this didn't stick with me.
See, it really did stick with me. I like I said, I watched one episode out of context on G4. I didn't actually watch the series in its entirety until my freshman year of college, which was about a year and a half
ago.
After it came out.
Oh.
After it came out. 2006.
A year ago.
I'm old.
1 year ago.
Yes. Many a year ago. So yeah, this was one of those series who I got a friend of mine watching Red versus Blue. I also threw this at her and we quoted this at each other incessantly nonstop. Mm-hmm. Particularly he's gotta have his leg, because at one point she broke her toe and she's like, I needed my toe.
She's gotta have her toe.
So this was definitely one of those series. This one stuck with me, and I think part of that is my love of horror and horror comedy. But this was one where a lot of that Red versus Blue writing definitely permeated through, and this was kind of the series that kind of convinced me that machinima works outside of Red versus Blue. Mm. Because up until that point, Red versus Blue had been pretty much the only machinima I had been exposed to, and I wasn't entirely sure that other storytellers could really make it work. Mm-hmm. Because I just hadn't seen very much of it. And then watching this, I'm like, no, it absolutely can work outside of Red versus Blue and outside of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was my initial thought of the series. And this it's kind of different because this was one of the first that they did in conjunction with... Because they started doing Red versus Blue, and then it was one of the ones they did in conjunction with other games like
this one
The
was,
Sims with the Strangerhood.
This was like one of the first licensed, like, hey, we want you to do something for us.
Yeah.
Like, Fear reached out to them.
Monolith Productions as part of the director edition tie-in for Fear, which actually I wanted to ask you guys, because you guys are more of the video game experts, did you have any experience playing Fear? Or was that something you guys opted out of because survival horror is not your deal?
I'm familiar with the story, actually. And it's another one of those really, really messed up, like, we took the child from the mother and there was murder involved and there's all sorts of, like, it's one of those ones where the backstory is hilariously messed up when you step back and look at it.
They basically did experiments on Samara from The Ring, right?
Kind of, yeah.
And now you suffer the consequences.
Yeah, the Alma being the they. By the time they got to Fear 3, it got really weird. But like
it
even
started
weirder.
Weird.
Well,
let's
no,
be
but
real.
Like then no, like but like bad weird, like not good weird, bad weird. But this was actually one of those franchises where it was like, oh, it's a little bit more action than horror. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I didn't last very long. just because, you know, being 12 years old when this came out.
Things
true.
You should not have been playing at 12.
No.
Yes,
I was 12 in 2005. That's the joke. It was just like not having a lot of money, so that was like a Blockbuster thing,
yeah,
or a Hollywood Video thing, where it was like, ah, going right back, thank you. But not I didn't like then get invested in the Fear franchise, but I like alternate stuff like this where it's like, oh, I have a tendril in the vicinity of this intellectual property, and I was like, oh, hey, Fear, great.
And I really liked the meta game design jokes. Like, just the same poorly lit hallways and doorways with no doors.
That was
These are weird decorators.
Yes.
What weird taste.
Well,
it's bad.
For a game like Fear and for the genre of survival horror, you kind of have a task of setting yourself apart from Resident Evil. Because Resident Evil is kind of the... You say, oh, survival horror game, and people go... Oh yeah, Resident Evil, the one with the zombies, or the one like
or Silent Hill.
Silent Hill.
Those are the two powerhouses, I think.
But the Silent Hill is a little more attempting to not be murdered by monsters, and Resident Evil is a little more let's
kill
go murder the
monsters.
Yeah, Silent Hill's never mind. Semantics.
Yeah, but as a survival horror game, you really have to work hard to set yourself apart. And I have to wonder if teaming up with Rooster Teeth for essentially a re-release of the game wasn't a little more, hey, you've got an audience, point your audience's faces our way.
But then that sort of goes, oh, is there comedy in this game? I think that if that was the case, that would be false advertising. Because Fear, the parts where Fear is funny, it's not on purpose.
A lot of very disappointed Rooster Teeth fans.
Yeah. But I mean, there's not
It's a comedy game!
I mean,
what is this?
Halo's not a comedy game either. I mean, Rooster Teeth fans, for the most part, are smart enough to be able to differentiate their highly produced fan fiction from the stuff that Bungie puts out.
But I would also say, arguably, that Halo, while still kind of a new franchise at the time, had that fan base there, whereas Fear was an entirely new
sort of an yeah. Like this was part of like let's get our name out there, let's get let's tap into this already pre-existing fan base and do something fun and get fans that way. I will be honest, as somebody who has never played Fear, I was definitely interested in it when I sat down and watched Panics for the first time. I was like, yeah, sign me up for that game that I can't afford at the moment or have time to play. If I had had the system where, basically, if I had had the time and money, I would have played this game because of this series. Even though, obviously, like, the writing is completely different. This was a one-shot. Speaking of the writing, this was actually the winner. This miniseries, it won an award for best writing at the 2005 Mission Film Festival. And I kind of have to agree with that. I don't know what the other candidates were that year. But I look back at this, and I'm like, yeah, this was kind of... this was red versus blue writing at its funniest.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Matt threw me off.
Why the code word?
Well, no, just like that's Matt. Could they not find a black guy? Could they not? I love you, Matt, but I was like, that's especially being a Red versus Blue fan and a Rooster Teeth fan, and going back, you're like, oh, well, that's Matt Hullum. So it's a little distracting from that end, but I'm sure coming out, everybody goes, it was way different.
The production team was so different back then. Oh.
And not even that, but just the fandom was different. It wasn't this establishment of 15 seasons of hearing Sarge and knowing that Matt's the director, this creative lead, this and that, and being just familiar with Matt to where you can point out that he's O'Malley, that you can point out this or that. But going back, it didn't age very well, at least for me.
Oh.
No, I mean specifically that performance. Like the dialogue and everything, but specifically that performance was like, that's Matt. They could have found somebody.
That's fair. I mean, they did...
gestures to Jason.
They did reach out to, like, David Zellner to do a voice, mm-hmm. so it wasn't just limited to their immediate production crew.
Even more so, that's what I mean, is, like, you already started reaching out, keep reaching out, then it might have been a thing of... like it is with most, like, smaller productions, is, well, I don't have a part. I'll do this part.
Yeah, sort of pretty much. Or it was literally, who's here right now?
Yeah. And I don't. We have a deadline. I don't hold that against them at all. Not whatsoever. Yeah.
Again, when your whole production team is like five people and whatever's in the storage closet.
Mm-hmm. Five people and a mop.
You work with what you got. So I do want to ask you guys, though, because one of my biggest disappointments is, even though I love how well tied together and how tight this like 15 minutes of content is and how wildly entertaining it is for me, something I was always kind of disappointed by was that it was never an ongoing series. I want to know, let's start with you, Mark. Do you think this could have been an ongoing series like Red versus Blue?
I think if it was going to be, they wouldn't have written it as a single story. They would have left a couple more, like Frank being the ghost, like that takes away all of the sort of places that you can go. They wrote this with an ending in mind, so I don't know if there was ever a desire to make this a full series, but I think it could have worked, especially similarly to Halo, with the Fear games evolving and the visual style evolving. I think it was possible. If they kept it intimate, I think it could have been something cooler.
And if they hadn't murdered most of the cast.
Well, I said that. That's what I said.
Oh, yeah.
Stacey?
I do like how kind of... it was very well put together as the story that it was. And so I enjoyed that, and it seemed like a complete story. I would have watched more of that, though. I think that they could have kept going with that kind of humor, especially with the writing that they had on it. If they could expand that idea throughout the whole game and kind of follow the story, I guess follow along the storyline a little more, there's more things they could have gotten into.
I'm not sure they could have done it without really stretching the premise. It just, even without, you know, murdering most of the cast, it seemed like a very limited setup. Like, it was written to have an ending, to be just one small story. And I feel like in order for it to be a larger continuing series, it would have to be almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, as much as I love it, I love this one shot, and I love how it's constructed. But the first time I was watching it, I didn't know it was a limited run. I kind of thought, like, oh, they're doing, like, a new thing. And so by the time I got halfway through it and half the cast was dead, I started going, like, oh, no, this isn't going to be an ongoing thing. So, yeah, let's... Do you guys think that, like, I feel, personally for me, I feel like it would have had to have been retooled in order to make it work as an ongoing series? And so I'm torn because I would have loved to have seen what they could have done with that, because horror comedy is so my jam. I would have loved to have seen these writers continue to play around in that space. But at the same time, I don't know if I would trade what it is for anything.
It's like, you remember Nine, the movie that came out that was animated and had kind of like the sackcloth? Yeah. It's kind of like that. Like, we have this wonderful small short that's just beautiful to watch and very well done. And then we attempted to make it a big Hollywood blockbuster movie with a huge voice cast and whatnot. And it wasn't a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination. It was actually wholly terrifying in some parts. But there's just something simple and beautiful about the short. And I feel like that's kind of where we are here. Like, we have this small, beautiful, hilariously profane, murdery thing. Trying to make it bigger, I think, would lose a lot of that magic.
That's fair. Well,
Lincoln is conflicted.
I will never not feel that dissonance in my heart. But, no, kind of, again, tying into your guys' video game experience, if you guys feel like this is better as a one-off short, is there another horror franchise that you think this could have worked with?
God, I'm really bad with horror franchises because they're very scary.
That's usually
the point, yes.
I mean, not
I know
all.
That's the point.
Not but, all. But not all, but sometimes that's the idea.
I barely made it through BioShock, okay?
God bless, I love you.
But that was, yeah.
I like watching horror movies and being scared. I don't like having to be the person in first person.
I will say that, yeah, there are a lot of the survival horror type games aren't necessarily set up for machinima-esque storytelling. So you would have to pick something, like, in my mind, like Left 4 Dead, and kind of go...
I think Rooster Teeth could do a hell of a Left 4 Dead show.
Oh, yeah.
But not as machinima, but as live action, I think. Now they... I mean, they kind of are.
Do you think this could have worked better as a live action series?
This, no. No, for fear... Like, if you, especially at that time, you want that red versus blue crossover, this makes sense. You have that, hey, Chief, where'd all your meat go? like that level of humor and attention to just, because why not? But I think they should, not just with Bloodfest, but I think in terms of machinima, I think they could, or animation in general, they could return to some sort of a horror, comedy horror type of a thing. Excuse me, especially now in the gaming landscape, horror games are kind of a dime a dozen. You know, you could probably go on Humble Bundle and get a dozen for 10 cents. Like, yeah. I'm not even exaggerating. So I think that there's an opportunity there. And even where you start as a series and then go into a game, day 5 game confirmed, I think that it's possible.
My only reservation with saying that, yeah, this totally could have worked with another franchise is that a lot of the modern survival horror are done from a first-person perspective right now. Outlast was first-person. Even Resident Evil moved to first-person. All the current trendy Steam games like Five Nights at Freddy's, all of these are locked into the first-person perspective.
That was actually my answer.
I'm a computer.
Because those models for everything are all available online, and the fan game game for FNAF has been ridiculously strong. Like, I can definitely see a FNAF machinima. I would be down. And then chat, God bless them, came up with my single favorite answer. Thank you, Pepsi Fan 24. Doki Doki Literature Club machinima.
Yeah.
My God. Yes. Oh,
no. Then no, I would want that to be live action.
Please. Yeah. I feel like if you're going to do horror comedy, a lot of the more shock value stuff, like, again, Chief, where'd all your flesh go? Like, that would be really super horrifying in live action. But because it's rendered in this game machine, it's easier to take. So a lot of Doki Doki stuff was super horrifying just in the game. Some of that going live action would just be like, and we're done.
Yeah.
So I feel like keeping it within the cutesy animated happy music bit of the game and the occasional, why is my life glitching, would be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my God.
Final thoughts on this show. Final thoughts on this show before we wrap it up for the evening.
I liked it. If you haven't seen it, just because it's an important part of RT history. And yeah, let's get a remaster.
Absolutely.
No, I'm glad I got an opportunity to kind of learn that this existed and watch it. This is kind of the thing that I would put on, like, just in the background when I have an extra 10 minutes to spare, like.
I'd never seen the blooper reel before, and Bernie complaining about why did they even give me a script when all I'm doing is screaming in pain just kind of gave me life. But yeah, no, I adore this little miniseries so much. It's so much fun.
Watching the outtakes really made me appreciate the improvisational skills of the Rooster Teeth voice cast. They are fantastic improvisers. And honestly, just at one point, I think I almost had this entire series memorized.
Sounds
like
right.
I really love this, and if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's fabulous.
Do the thing, love yourself.
So really quickly before we do sign off, because we do know a lot of you check out before the end of the show, I just want to take this opportunity to thank our executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. They are responsible for giving us this crazy place for us to talk about shipping or years 13-year-old franchises, and really take chances and get a chance to explore this space that we have created for ourselves. And make sure, take a look at AfterBuzzTV.com. It just got redone. So find a series that you like, whether it's TV, whether it's whatever. We have a lot of great shows available for everybody. So AfterBuzzTV.com. Leave questions down below. Subscribe here at AfterBuzz Animation. Yeah, and thanks to the fine folks at AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you guys for watching. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you're into other animated stuff, the Voltron Season 5 finale after show is Monday. Do the thing.
Stacey.
Yes, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the internet at Stacey Shuttles. I also play games on Inventory Full PT on Twitch. I've been playing Doki Doki Literature Club. Yeah. So I will finish it one day.
And I'm Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. I'm also part of Inventory Full PT. We do a live talk show on Monday nights. Please check that out. Also, I'm part of the Movie Trivia Schmodown. So there's a live show tomorrow. I'm going to be going to that. And then also just stay tuned on Collider. I'm going for the number one contendership soon. I finally know my competitor. And he's a former bachelor. I don't mean just like, oh, he's a bachelor. From ABC's The Bachelor.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wreck
that's
him.
Gonna be, yes, ma'am. but yeah, Mark Budonica, thank you, everybody.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Just follow me there. I do a bunch of stuff. Again, I just wanted to take a moment to reiterate, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through all the technical issues. You guys...
Just because there may be random pieces of questionable meats or viscera around the city, you may or may not be able to take it without some sort of repercussions. Thanks again to all of our new listeners joining us after the tower fell. We take pride in being your one and only source for local news and happenings. Bundle up, stay warm, and don't run if the Atlesian soldiers knock on your door. If you hear a knock at your door, window, floor, or left ventricle, don't hesitate to let in whatever is on the other side. Remember that we are live at 7 on this channel, depending on whether or not the creatures of Grimm have overtaken the streets, causing minor traffic jams. And as always, listeners, Good night, Vale. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.